Good morning, Church in the Falls. How's everyone? You know, I think it's great that it's being Palm Sunday and we're talking about devices. Remember the Palm Pilots? Right? Well, traditionally what happens is you take the palms and you burn them and then you bring them back next year for Ash Wednesday and you smear them on your forehead. So I thought it'd be fun if we would gather all our cell phones up after, burn them and use the ashes next year. What do you think? All right, well, maybe not. Well, if you're a visitor with us, welcome. We are concluding a series today, and I'll try to give you a quick overview of the last four weeks and wrap it with a bow today. But first, I want to begin. We're talking about technology. There's one unique thing about technology that is exceptionally good, and that is very few things can instill a thought and a truth in a way that really makes it stick. Like a great movie. And there's a great movie coming out this week. Julie and I have seen it about, what, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, whenever that was. Got a preview of it. It's excellent. And I want to show a preview of that now. Push play.
I got it. He's going for a break?
No, he's not. No, he's not.
We got you.
Hey, boys! Get off the ice! Not safe!
You're not going anywhere.
Stop. All
available trucks, we have a drowning event. St. Louis.
14-year-old male, unresponsive and pulseless.
You want clear?
No pulse.
There's nothing more we can do.
This is the most powerful, compelling, verifiable, authenticated miracle story in recent history. Period, bar none.
Joyce Smith?
Yes?
We're doing everything we can for your son, but John isn't responding.
There her son was without a pulse. She touched his feet. They were completely cold. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to claim death. I'm about to claim life.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
The EKG machine started going off. He came back to life.
I drowned for 15 minutes and then I was without a pulse for an additional 45. So in all, I was dead for over an hour.
So far in my life, God had always been and done what he said he could do. And so I just started praying.
Mom came in, she prayed, and instantly I had a pulse.
Everybody that I explain the plot to gets goosebumps just even thinking about that something like this could happen.
It's hard to believe. I'm a part of the story, telling the story, and it's hard for me to believe.
This movie is described as a medical miracle because just that one idea, you know, patient dead, mother prayed, patient came back to life. This is a modern day resurrection story.
When Joyce finally gave that complete surrender to God and said, you know, like, you have to take this, there's no question that something miraculous happened.
I come from a family of doctors, and this is one of those stories that the medical community knows, and there's no explanation. I mean, it's truly, in that sense, a miracle.
It's excellent. It begins this Wednesday night, the 17th, and keep in mind the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. Wednesday through Sunday is all considered opening weekend. And what Disney and 20th Century Fox want to do is to know, is that the kind of movie you would like to see? So when you go in those 5 days, anything that goes into the bucket will measure whether there'll be more films like this. And so I want to remind you of that. This is a great one to see. You will love it. It's all-star cast, big money, true story. You will not believe it. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Documentable, verifiable, and you just soak it in. It is not a documentary. Those are the real people who the story happened to. The story is acted out, and it's fantastic. So highly recommend you go see it and enjoy that this week. We are looking at Andy Crouch's book, The Tech Wise Family. A lot of the thoughts have spawned this idea and this series. Remember, we started back in Judges 21. The people did whatever they wanted. Whatever they saw was right in their own eyes. And when people do that, God resists. But there's a point at which, as Psalms 81 reminds us, my people didn't listen to me, so I gave them over to their own devices. I think Romans 1, he let us go. And we have this phrase that I think encompasses all of this series. When we're left to our own devices, all we end up with is our own vices. We get caught, we get trapped. And I think today's topic is, above all of them, the best one to grab a hold of how not to get caught. And then after that, Michael reminded us of a story from Genesis 11 where brick was the new technology of the day. And what did they do with that great technology? They built a name for themselves. And God says, no, 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 no. And he comes and confuses the language and breaks it up. He reminded us of nomophobia, the fear of being without our phones, which is the brick of our day, our smartphones. And how we tend to look down at them as if we're praying to them. It's proverbial, isn't it? And how easy that is to do. Let's not make technology idols. And then we talked about the next week how God made something from nothing and called it good. And then on day six, he got real excited and he made something from something. And he said, that was very good. And you guys, his new creation, us, he sends us into the world to also make things from good to very good. So we take silicone and turn it into computers, and that is very good. We're many creators. And it is in that realm that we can embrace technology as something that honors God, provided it's in its proper place. Remember, worship by human progress, not worship of human progress. Keeping it in its right place allows us to be imagers of God. So we don't want to throw out technology. Sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, I'm just going to throw away and I don't believe in all that. That's not right, the right attitude. Creation is part of what we do as many imagers of God. However, if creation controls you, you've missed the point. And we've got to find the balance between those two. And then last week, Michael reminded us of how easy technology keeps us distracted, disconnected, and decommitted. Those things are so easy to do. Think date night, boyfriend, girlfriend, on their phones, not even talking. It's a reality of our world that we have to be careful of. The story from Luke where Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are concerned about a lot of stuff. And they're important things. Thank you for making me lunch. Thank you for cleaning the house. But Martha, Martha, you're missing the point. Mary has picked what's better. It's the only important thing, really. The relationship, sitting at the feet of Jesus, that's what God wants from us, above and beyond whatever thing we might do, or in this case, whatever technology. It's a great thing, but if it distracts you from what's most important, beware. And I want to start a thought off today with a perspective that we're going to get from Mr. Gaffigan. Go ahead and push play.
Last summer, we did our first big family vacation. Well, I should clarify, we went to Disney. Now, if you haven't been to Disney as an adult, just imagine you're standing in line at the DMV. And that's it. Actually, it was Orlando in July, so it was kind of like standing in line on the surface of the sun. Why would we do this to ourselves? Remember when you were a kid and you'd go on vacation, you'd be like, why is Dad always in a bad mood? Now I understand. How can I spend an enormous amount of money, be uncomfortable, and listen to my children complain and whine? Disney. Oh, good. There's pressure to have fun on your vacation, right? But at Disney, it's like a desperation. You see it on the faces of parents. They're like, oh, this was an enormous mistake. I hope you're having fun. It was either this or send you to college.
It's a funny bit, but there's so much wisdom in what he's saying. There's a difference, isn't there? But going on vacation and taking a road trip, very different things. They both serve great purposes, but they bring a different impact. Our family went to Disney World in November. And I love it when people say things like, oh, it's so nice to get away and rest. Like, have you been to Disney World? There's no rest there. I mean, did we have fun? Yes. Did we make some great memories? You betcha. Did we rest? Not even close. It's just not meant for that. It's a different kind of purpose. It's a different kind of focus. And I think that there's a similar difference between leisure and rest. Leisure is an opportunity to do something, and it's great. Rest is a retooling, a reflection, a calming. a removal of things to keep us buzzing and going. And I think rest is a really, really important element to God. And it's different. Just like vacation is different from a road trip, leisure is different from rest. Remember in the beginning, God created everything. He set this whole thing up and He works for 6 days. And on day seven, the Bible says God did what? God rested. He Sabbathed. He took the day off. Like God needs that. He set something into the very foundation of creation. And that is the rhythm. You work 6 days and you rest one day. And this is very good. It sets the tone. And then the fall of man disrupts it. And now suddenly work moves from work 6 days and rest one to toil 6 days and you better rest one. The ante goes up and that leads to more toil and slavery. Next thing you know, God's people are stuck in Egypt and they're toiling away. They don't get a day off. Did you know that? Slaves don't get a day off. They toil 7 days. Hardcore. In fact, you work them harder and harder and harder because God forbid they get any energy. They might rise up against you. So you beat them down more and more and more. And God comes in and sends Moses and delivers His people from slavery, from toil, from working too much. And He takes them out into the desert and He says, I'm the Lord your God who delivered you from that. And then He tells them all the great new vision He has for them. And one of the things He says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day it is a Sabbath unto the Lord. On that day you shall not work. On that day you don't have to work. You get a day off, people. Now, He commands it strongly with death penalty, okay? But I think the reason why is because we don't get it. This was not a burden. God did not deliver His people to lay another burden on them. He delivered His people to give them a liberation from a burden. And there's a really big difference. It's not a restriction. It's a liberation. You don't have to work. One day a week, you rest. This is not leisure time where you go out and do fun things like Disney World. This is rest. Because that's what you need. And oh, by the way, it shows how much you trust me. I'm going to give you food for 6 days. And on day six, I'm going to give you twice the food. And I know you're afraid, you have a fear of missing out on day seven, but just trust me, I will provide. And God always does. It builds a dance, it builds a rhythm with God of trust and nurturance and understanding. I work 6 days and you rest one. And God always shows up. Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby, they get this. They take it all the way to the business realm. Anybody want to take a guess what the number one day to buy fried chicken is? Sunday. The one day the fried chicken people don't open. They take a real hit there. Their values are loud because they're putting the money where their mouth is. It's funny, there's a whole website devoted to the history of chicken. This next slide here is pretty interesting. And it talks about all these different layers and how it came about. And one of the things that it points out, go ahead and hit the next slide, is that chicken was considered something extremely special because it takes so much time. And so it's a Sunday event. In fact, I remember Dad telling a story about how he loves beef. He's a steak kind of guy. And he would go to a family that would serve them beef during all the week, but on Sunday it was chicken. And well, that's when you invite the preacher over. It's Sunday, so he'd always get chicken. And he's thinking, man, I'd really rather have a steak. I'm like, well, steak's boring. We eat that every day. This is chicken day, right? It's Sunday. It's a special time. Chick-fil-A says, you know what? We're going to give that up because we believe Sabbath is important. They stand by it. They put their money where their mouth is. It's huge. B&H Electronics, similarly. Go in the next slide. If you'll notice, this is their schedule. One more. On Saturday, they close. You know why? Because they're Jewish and that's Sabbath. Many businesses are engaging in that because they're understanding that we have to take control of our lives. I would say it this way, in this context, if we don't take control of our devices by Sabbathing from them, our devices will take control of us. When left to our own devices, we only end up with vices. We get stuck. And Sabbath is one of the great tools God has built in for every area of life, but it is especially true in something as central to our lives as our devices. Think smartphone is at the top of that list. Computer, iPad, it's all in that category. And I think sometimes we take rest and we watch Netflix. We take rest and we play a game. I don't think that really fits the biblical definition of Sabbath. In fact, Andy Crouch, who wrote the book that we're dealing with on it, he addresses Sabbath in an interview. And I want to play a little snippet of that because I think it really brings a really interesting point. Push play.
Of the Ten Commandments, the longest commandment is the one that begins, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." And it's long because it goes on to talk about all the other people you have to make sure honor the Sabbath along with you. Not just you, but your children, not just your family, but the people who work for you, not just the people who work for you, but any foreigners who are resident in the place where you live. God cares about Sabbath. And it's interesting that the God who made us to work makes the command not to work. We are not machines. We're creatures. And the Sabbath reminds us that we're creatures who need to rest. One of the tragedies of our culture is that we've lost this. So now we just have to choose it. It no longer is just sort of part of the fabric of our world that things stop on Sundays. Now we have to stop. And it's the best thing you can possibly do if you want to be an image bearer who contributes to the world.
Now, I want to point out and clarify, Sabbath is a concept, Sunday, Saturday. I'm not even concerned with that. What I want to challenge you to think about today is the concept of Sabbath is not just for you. Neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servants, nor your female servants, nor your animals, nor your foreigners who reside in your towns. Think about that. Our responsibility for Sabbath is to create an environment of Sabbath. And we live in a 24/7 world. How do we do that? One of the things he points out, and I think it's very insightful, is that if we go and watch a football game while people are working and call that Sabbath, it's counterproductive. As in, we're trying to Sabbath at the expense of someone else's work. Now, again, in a 24/7 culture, it's impossible to truly do that forthright and all in. But I do want you to think about the concept. What does it look like to live out Sabbath when it means creating an environment of Sabbath? No rules here. I don't want you to be thinking, oh, I can't go to lunch now because I'm going to have to pay the waitress. And that's like, don't get into the details. What I want you to think is wrestle with the concept a little bit. What does it mean for me to live in a work 6 days, rest truly one day mindset? It probably does not mean playing 4 hours of two dots on your day off. I love two dots. Hi, I'm David. I'm addicted to two dots. Okay, there we go. It's a reality to the world that we live in. You got Netflix, you got your Facebook, you got your Instagram. You just pick whatever your vice is. It's there. And it draws you in and it's relaxing. How many of you have been watching Netflix and you're on like the sixth episode and someone from your family comes up and you go, and you're literally, you can't unfrown your brow and you want to just punch them and you don't even know why. Why do I want to punch you? You look so cute, but I just want to punch you. Why do I want to punch you? Why do I feel so frustrated? Because you've been soaked into something that is grabbing your attention. That is what the devices do. They're beautiful that way. They draw you in. But after a while, it's like you're just completely rattled from the inside out with this sense of exhaustion, expenditure. And yet you didn't do anything. The more you consume, the tireder you get. It's kind of one of the unique things. It's very anti-restful. How do we be aware of those kind of realities? How do we have a Sabbath from those kind of things? A breakaway. Delighting. Not becoming a consumer, but becoming a creator. God's image is not a consumer, but a creator. Being invested. See, what happens is when we get wrapped into our devices, it's very easy to go back into a toil and to a slavery where we are trapped once again. We just have to see the rest of the episode. I'm concerned about missing something on Facebook, or what if I don't, or what if someone calls me, what if I'm not? And we get all wrapped into that anxiety. That is not rest. It's real important to see and distinguish the difference and test it in your life. The work rest is what God has designed. You know, 70% of teens and adults sleep with their phones right by their bed. Right or wrong? Don't know. You make the decision. But it's a fair question. Do you think the very last thing before you go to sleep and the very first thing you think about should be your device? Nobody would say yes to that. Oh, I'm reading the Bible app. Okay, great. It's my alarm clock. I want to make sure I'm up on time. Great. Just test it honestly. What is that about? If it's just mechanical and you're the boss of it, then go with it. But don't just smile and nod like it's that way when it may not be. Sabbath, being able to break away from that and be free is really important. Here's something I've been wanting to say for a long time, and I didn't know why. Remember when we would do our fast, and we do our 21-day fast, and I would hear people say to me, I'm going to fast from Facebook. And that would bug me, and I wasn't sure exactly why. I think I understand now. First of all, fasting in the Bible is never about any of those things. It's always about a biological need. There's only two times we really see about. One is food, I guess water would include in that, and sex. Food, sex. That's it. That's what we fast for, because the body says, I need this. And we say, yep, but I'm in charge. That's what fasting is. So here's the thing. If you need Facebook, Instagram, Netflix, like you need food, that is not a fasting issue. That is a repentance issue. Can I say that out loud? That's what bugged me about it. It's not about that. If you need something that bad, you're already hooked. You're already in a vice, and that is another issue. That is a repentance issue. I am too controlled by my stuff. I need to step back. And that is the signal and the sign that shall let you know. If you're trying to fast from Facebook, you're missing the point of Facebook or any other device item. Think about it this way. We're not called to fast from devices. We're called to be liberated from devices. I am the Lord your God. I have brought you up out of Egypt. And now you work 6 days and rest one. Leisure and rest are different things. It's really, really important to understand that. A few years back, we went to Kalahari as a family. And because there were no waterproof phones at the time, we all paranoidly left them in the room and went out for about 3 days and did nothing but goof off and play. And we all remember feeling the anxiety of, I hope I didn't miss any calls, or I'm worried about that, or I'd like to do this. But at the same time, we're kind of, this is a lot of fun. And we laughed, and we giggled, and we have inside jokes from that time. And we all, as a family, all of us, went, that was really cool. And it's become a tradition for us every year to try to go back. There's something about it. We put all the devices away. We had no choices. We were just out playing in the water, hanging out as a family, laughing, joking, talking, making fun of things. It was really a special time. And we stumbled into it. I think that's why God commands it, because he knows we don't get it. Put it down. Okay. And we put it down, and we step over here, and we're like, oh, that's really nice. I feel liberated. I think that's the point. We have to think about it intentionally. A digital Sabbath is huge, because it provides us a chance to really rest, to really connect with our God and with people in our lives. But how will I know what's going on? That should tell you something. You need a break. If you've posted something on Facebook and all the people who normally like your stuff like it, but the one who likes everybody else's stuff still hasn't liked yours and it bothers you, you need a break. You need to be liberated from Facebook for a while. That's the measuring stick right there. If you feel an angst of any type, a need to, your responsibility is to say, okay, I'm not controlled by that. And you step back. That's what liberation looks like. Jesus took time to do that. Check this out. Luke 5. The news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed from their sickness. His Instagram was blowing up, y'all. That's what's going on. And they're clamoring for his attention. What does Jesus do? But Jesus often, really important word there, often withdrew to lonely places to pray. He understood that he needed that, and he built a rhythm, an often rhythm. He was preferring the presence of God and the connection with all the hype and the fanfare that might come from this world around. I think devices are doing that to us. We need to know. We have this fear of missing out, and it drives us to pay attention to everything, all this one, and we sit there and we just scroll and we scroll and we scroll, or it's the next thing, or the next level in the game, or it's just, you just can't stop, and it draws you and controls you. That is what we need to break away from. The minute you feel that, you know it's time. That's a great litmus test. Someone doesn't compliment your stuff, if you don't get the like you're looking for, that's the sign. There's a model, an Australian model named Asina O'Neill. And I just got to play her clip because it's so interesting. She basically changed her Instagram name to Social Media is Not Real Life. And then she cut it all out in 2015 because it bothered her so much. And she's making appeal to all of us who don't have a big life on Instagram with millions of followers to not even get in the first place. Listen to this. Push play.
I had the dream life. I had 500,000 people interested in me on Instagram. I had over 100,000 views on most of my videos on YouTube. To a lot of people, I made it. Everything I did was for views, for likes, for followers. I was miserable. I had it all, and I was miserable. Because when you let yourself be defined by numbers, you let yourself be defined by something that is not pure, that is not real. What I'm doing here is a statement that real life isn't through screens. That yes, you can get social, I'm not against social sharing, I'm against the current status of social media. And I have everything to lose by doing this. But majority of people watching this that don't have a career on social media, you have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. There are people around you. Go do things that you love to do in the real world. Volunteer. Help out somewhere. Go to an animal shelter. Go to a cafe and just sit and meet people. Go on a bus. There are people around you. You can go outside and meet people and feel connected. You don't need to be, you don't need to prove your value on social media.
I love that. You don't need to prove your value on social media. You hear the passion in her voice? She is burnt by this because she understands the nature of vice. She got involved with something as part of her career, and it grabbed her and it viced her. And she was like, I am done with this. And she's warning all of us who may not have that level of engagement to just step away now and be smart. Again, this is not an all or nothing reality. Remember, creation is very good. Technology is very good. We're watching technology right now to bring the message, okay? But it needs to be something that you're in control of and not the other way around. The minute you feel angst and it pulls you is the minute you step away and say, okay. Jesus had to avoid social media. Check this out. John 6. After the people saw the sign that Jesus performed. Just imagine the visual there. He's feeding 5,000 people. They began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force. Let me pause for a minute. He's out doing something amazing, and the people are saying, you know what? Romans ain't got nothing like this. Their soldiers get hungry. Our soldiers would never get hungry. Let's take Jesus and let's go to Rome. We got this and run! Jesus, I mean, everybody wants to be king. Jesus literally is king. You know that had to draw on him a little bit. There's a little bit of a vice pulling him into that. It's only natural. So what does Jesus do? All right, guys, we need to slow down here. We need to be careful and maybe just a little king, but not too much king. He could have done so many things. Listen to what he does. Jesus withdrew again. You notice that? There's a pattern there. He withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Seems to be his pattern. Is it your pattern when you feel drawn by technology to go deeper or to pull away? Does it make you more like Jesus who pulls away or less? Pretty simple analogy, right? What is it in your technological use that makes you more like Jesus? It makes you think, okay, I've learned some statistics about the internet and I think I'm going to back off and put covenant eyes on my computer. That makes you more like Jesus. You should do that. The other side is, I just have to see, I just need to see, I need to want to know, I have to, and there's this angst that comes with it. That's exactly what Jesus dealt with. The popularity, the desire to be king, we all have it, it's okay. But when you feel that pull, what Jesus would say and what Jesus modeled regularly was to step away and to reconnect with his Father in prayer and with other real people who are not trying to make him king. And whatever format that looks like for you, it's a rhythm. Our devices convince us that we're here to consume. I just need more and more and more. We're not here to consume. Church, we are here to create. It's a very different vision. Consumption should only be to support more creation. And anything short of that misses the mark for what God has designed. Now, Andy Crouch has put out 10 tech commitments. They're patterned after the 10 commandments. And he wants you to know it's not a commandment. This is a commitment. This is an opportunity for you to think differently about technology. So I've given you a copy of this. If you don't have one, there should be some extras. And I'm going to look through them really quickly. And there's one I want to really push us to do. But here's some great ideas to pray about with your family. Number one, develop wisdom and character as a family. He says the internet has an infinite amount of knowledge, but zero character. The only way to take character real is to take that infinite knowledge and utilize it in real relationship. That's when you develop real character, connection, caring, mutuality, etc. Number two, create more than you consume. Again, we're not here to be consumers, we're here to be creators. Keep that in balance, and it'll keep your tech in balance as well. One of his suggestions is have create tech-free zones in your house. Certain places where everybody gather, there's no technology on purpose. Number three, we'll talk about in a minute. Number four, devices go to bed before us, and they get up after us. Right? We talked a little bit about that earlier. It's a great suggestion. How do you want to do that in your life so that what's most important to you doesn't dictate the last and the first thoughts of the day? Number five, no screens before double digits. Age 10. It's a great boundary to have. Now, he's quick to say, in our world, it's almost impossible to do that. Okay. But for the love of God, have really great boundaries. Put some strong boundaries on your kids. Make sure they understand that this can hurt you. Number six, use screens together for a purpose, not aimlessly and alone. See, the more aimlessly and alone you are in your device, the more bored you get. Michael referenced this a week or so ago. The reality is, if you're going to do something, do it on purpose. If you're going to watch a movie, great. Let's go see Breakthrough together as a family on a screen and then talk about it together. Great use of technology. Don't sit in a room and everybody look at the walls of their screens and completely ignore one another for 2 hours. And then be even more bored at the end of it. That's the difference. Put it in perspective. Number seven, car time is conversation time. I think this one's really insightful. Parents will agree the best time is when you're talking to your kid on the way somewhere. And they're telling you about what they just did at the dance or the karate or whatever it is that you're involved with. Just make that a tech-free zone. Real easy. And you talk to your kid. Number eight, commitment. Spouses know one another's passwords, period. This goes right back to Safe Home Sunday, okay? It's a big one. Above board accountability. And children, parents have access to everything. There's no private place in your kid's life. It can't be. And not in today's world, at least. Number nine, sing together. Our Heritage ought to embrace this one for real. Don't just go to a concert and listen, but sing. Learn to sing harmony with one another. A great way to build each other up. Number 10, show up physically for the big events of life. The weddings, the funerals, anything that's extreme, embrace it. Feel it. Feel the sadness, feel the joy, feel the anger. Focus on it and sit with it. It will develop you as a person. And you'll experience God's messy heart as we've learned, okay? Show up. Don't let technology be an escape on those moments. But number three is the one I want you to think about the most. Try three leans, literally try number three. Also, it's try as in three ones. Three ones. Try ones. Here's what they are. 1 hour a day. 1 day a week, and 1 week a year. Try the Sabbath from devices. 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year. Say it with me. 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year. That 1 week could be like a Kalahari trip, and an opportunity to just go on vacation and just strip everything down. Go hiking, camping, something different. It's an easy way to do it. 1 day a week, that's your Sabbath right there. Find a way. Put everything aside and do something different. 1 hour a day. Not a huge commitment. All you're doing is keeping things in balance. so that the device doesn't own you. Instead, you own the device. That is the purpose of Sabbath, to help you find rhythm and balance. And if you're ever questioning it, when you feel like you're being drawn, that should be the flag. Okay, whoa, I need to step back a little bit. I'm going to take my hour right now. Great way to do it. And just turn it off. Someone needs you, there'll be a voicemail in an hour, I promise you. You'll be okay. And 98% of the time. Try three. I want to encourage us 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year. That's a simple commitment. I want to ask everybody to think on, pray on, chew on, for the sake of doing one of the greatest commandments of all time, the Sabbath. It's one of the ways that we can do that. And I think in our world, it is one of the most current ways to do that. We're out of time. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer a short word of prayer, and we're going to stand up together and sing a song. I'm going to send you out with a blessing. We'll have prayer warriors if there's a way we can encourage you, support you. But leave with that thought today. Keep it in check. Keep it in balance. Because God wants you to be creators, not consumers. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We love you. We praise you, and we honor you today. Lord, watch over us. Give us wisdom in this area. It's so sneaky because there's so much very good in the middle of it that it can blind us. Lord, help us to be in tune with what draws us. And if we feel the want to be king or to dominate or to need that attention in some way, help us to immediately know it's time to step away, to have Sabbath, to reconnect with you, to reconnect with those around us. Help us to do these things for your glory and for our blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's